Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0. Transformers!
Construction. It's a lost art.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers, Episode 4. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me, as always, is...
TFG1 Mike, hello.
Hello, and...
Optimus Solo, good day.
Good day. What are you guys up to?
Well, not a lot. Editing.
Yeah.
Editing shows.
Yeah, exactly. This past week, I just got back into the editing game. I spent 4.5 hours on an hour and 44-minute episode.
Sounds like me at the beginning.
Like I said.
But yes, editing and recording and doing all things related to Top 100 epicness.
Yes.
Top 100. Awesome.
Yep.
Yes. So other than that, I haven't been doing a whole lot as far as the internet world goes.
Nope.
As far as me, I've been doing various voice projects, of course, and then we finally got the finalized script for the fan video of Dark Glass,
yes.
Which they retooled some of the lines, and yes, there's a unforeseen thing that is not included, which only I and the production crew know about.
Nice.
So, blah. But yes.
Nanobot actually comes back to life.
Who?
Nothing, never mind.
No. Cool. It still has to stay in continuity.
This is not Teen Titans.
Yes.
Exactly.
It has to fit in continuity. So, therefore, it must sync up with previous G1 and Beast Wars timeline information, unlike the IDW,
yeah,
which technically did not. So, but yes, other than that, and then I got an invite on voices.com to possibly do a voice program. So I auditioned for it. Probably didn't get it, but nevertheless, I was bummed that I at least got the opportunity.
Yeah.
So, but
excellent.
Yeah. Yes. But other than that, just waiting for my new microphone to show up. And I should have gotten the trial of Amazon Prime because now I'm, like, biting, chomping the bit here, waiting for this damn thing to arrive that I could have had last weekend.
Yeah, it will come.
Yes. But I guess if nobody has anything else... we will jump into the TF Prime news. Or not TF Prime, but just regular Transformers news. Yes, I've lost my mind for the week. Let's roll.
Save him, Mike.
Quickly. Damage report.
Moderate. You was beneath her in pain, but still functional.
Not you, imbecile. The computer!
All right, and welcome back to All Things Transformers after that little quick break in there. Starting off the week, we have the Transformers Collectors Club and BotCon
news. Yes, we do.
Take it away, Mike.
The Transformers Collectors Club animated Transtech Cheetor packaging has been revealed. Honestly, I don't think... I mean, the toy looks great, but it just doesn't... It doesn't transition well from Derek J. Wyatt's design to what the toy is. At least in my opinion, it doesn't. I do like the fact that they're doing this Transtech Cheetor because apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently Blur in Animated was originally from the Transtech Cheetor designs when Transtech was still an idea for Hasbro way back whenever, like after Beast Machines. So it's kind of come full circle. At first it was a Cheetor design, and then they molded it into Blur and made Blur out of it for Animated, and now they're making an animated Transtech Cheetor. But it just, I don't know, it just doesn't, like, I'm not super stoked to get the toy version.
Yeah, I like my Cheetor to be an animal.
No, well, I mean, I like this. I mean, I like the robot mode. I like the design, but I prefer the actual design that Derek had done.
Yeah.
I will get you guys a link to that here in 1 second. I just feel that the toy doesn't represent his design. It just doesn't. I mean, the robot mode is what I'm specifically talking about. It just... The head. I don't think the toy head really... And I know that there's only so much engineering they can put into a toy, but, I mean, seriously, it just doesn't... If you look at that image of Cheetor's head from Derek's design compared to the actual... toy head on the packaging, it just, to me, it just doesn't, I don't know.
Well, I think it looks identical to the one that's not as close up, so maybe once you actually see the toy close up, the head will match the close up of Derek's image, but I think the far away image of Derek's looks the exact same as the package.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm talking about the close up though.
Yeah, just, but I mean, it's hard to say on a package what the close up would actually be like. I mean, maybe they just took that one picture, so I'm kind of like a wait and see thing.
Yeah.
But it's cool on the name on the box. They actually use the Beast Wars font.
Oh yeah, so they do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's. I mean, I'm not super stoked about it, but it is something cool to at least see Beast Wars characters revisited in some way.
Yeah, it's something extra. It's something, you know, good for the fans. So.
True.
And the other piece of BotCon news was the prequel comic, Transformers Collectors Club Moving Violations BotCon Prequel. Transformers Collectors Club magazine has posted up the bonus two-page comic starring animated Transtech Cheetor packed with cameos from Rosanna to Beast Wars' Neo Stampy, and also featuring animated verse versions of Dark, Crumple Zone, and Ransack from Transformers Cybertron. Two-page comic showcases the animated universe. Cheetor will lead into the BotCon 2011 comic. Have fun spotting the Easter eggs. There's plenty of character homages to be enjoyed. I looked at this. I'm actually going to have to go back to my Twitter and find the post that Derek sent to me.
I don't know. It just seems like to me that I'm not a big comic fan anyways, but it's like, let's just throw all these different things in from these different things, different universes, so we can make a bunch of toys, and I don't know.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's the point that they're trying to
connect
the entire Transformers universe. Here's a link to where the actual two pages of comic are. I think besides Transtech Cheetor being in this comic, the best thing about this is an animated version of Depth Charge.
it's kind of so cool looking. I don't know. It's not something that I'll ever be. I'm just not a comic person, I guess.
Well, and they do have an animated version of Rat Trap in there at one point.
Nice.
Yep.
You can find him with his little buck teeth and everything. And despite the fact that I haven't been a part of the Collectors Club in some time, it's still pretty interesting to see. But, you know, it's I don't know. It's cool for fan wanking and everything else, but I haven't gotten into Transformers since, like, certain things of it, since the Beast Wars BotCon. I mean, this would probably be the only one that I'd be halfway interested in.
Yeah.
And especially if they made that Depth Charge figure.
Yeah.
From animated. But,
oh, yeah, there is Rat Trap on the first page there. That's interesting.
I don't mind them putting, like, up, not really updating, because obviously Transformers Animated is over, and they've moved on to Prime and all that, but since this year's BotCon stuff is animated themed, I don't mind that they're doing all this, you know, putting stuff into animated design, because I think it's great. I mean, like Steve said, the Depth Charge looks awesome. You know, Cheetor is an homage to the old, what would have been Transtech Cheetor. I would love to see it. I know we'll never get this. I would love to see animation with Ian's voice coming out of that design of Cheetor, but I know we won't ever get that. I don't know. I'm really excited for it for this year because it's not... Because the whole thing with animated, you know, after it ended, everyone, and most people still are now, they're like, oh, season 4, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, sorry, we've moved on. Season 4 is not happening anytime soon. It's not happening in animation, specifically. It may happen like stuff here where comics are and stuff, but it's not going to be animated anymore. Hasbro has moved on. But at the same time, I'm glad that there's a resurgence of animated, and Hasbro is acknowledging that. BotCon is acknowledging that, obviously, with their choice of you know, using animated as the theme this year. So, I mean, for us fans that are fans of animated, you know, it's all good.
Oh, yeah. True.
For you. For you fans of anime.
Well, you'll be watching animated and sending in voicemails to Transformation Animation coming this June, so just sit down, shut up, and relax.
Till later.
Yes. It does get better in the third season, which is why everybody wanted a fourth.
Yeah.
But jumping back to the Transformers news, we have the actual release information from TV shows on DVD of Beast Wars Transformers Shout Factory Season 1 DVDs. They have the date, the cost, and a little bit of the extra information. They basically have taken information from the Amazon.com pre-order list, saying that it's going to come out June 14th. On Amazon.com, it says that it will be $20.99, which, you know, who knows one way or the other.
Yeah.
How much it'll be. It'll probably end up being $30 by the end of it, unless you probably pre-order it now, which I'm sure that's why it says the price guarantee on there and everything. So it is a 4-disc set, just like the original. It will be the entire first season, which, actually, that's pretty damn cheap for the first season, because when season 1 for Rhino came out, it was like $50.
Yep.
And you were lucky if you could get it for like 30-something on eBay.
You're lucky now if you can get it under $100 for the Rhino set.
I should sell it. But, because then that would fund my entire Shout Factory version. But, the box art and final details are not available right now, according to Brian Ward. He has done an interview with the producer of the show, Christopher Brow, and he's continuing to look for more extras between toy commercials, various extracted parts from the series, such as the Megatron Optimus putting the spark back thing, which there is no high-quality one of, so they may not put it on the discs. I've been running around personally trying to find stuff for it. I don't know if it's going to be in the first season or if it's, you know, whatever, but he's talking with a lot of fans trying to get as much content as we can into these DVDs, which is definitely awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great how much he interacts with the fans and tries to get with it, because he's a fan too, so of most of the stuff he does, so he kind of understands where we're coming from, and I like that he reaches out to people.
And I know specifically he was writing the descriptions for the episodes for the DVDs the other day, because both Mike and I commented.
Yeah, he tweeted about it.
Don't follow the way of Rhino. And he says, what, Rhino? He says, are Rhinos bad? Because he hadn't read them, so.
I mean, you know, and I responded to him. I said, they're not bad, but they're not the best thing ever. They're more like, you know, two or three sentences, and it just gives you a general, it just, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not looking for a full plot synopsis on a DVD booklet. Obviously, that would ruin watching the show, obviously, but it's like, you know, Cheetor and Optimus have to go to Megatron to make a deal with Ba to have this happen. That's basically what the general gist of the Rhino ones are.
But it gives you too much information instead of trying to hook, line, and sinker you into grabbing your attention to watch that episode.
I mean, the Beast Machines ones, even though Rhino kind of just said, fuck it, we'll just put it on the actual DVD box itself. I mean, those are even, they're like one, like maybe a sentence and a half sentence, but at least those are, you know, at least those leave you wanting more.
Yeah. It's kind of, you need a happy medium.
Yeah. Yes.
You want more than what your TV guide would have given you as a description, but you want not the entire detail of the in-show.
Exactly.
And kind of moving right along, I think, into the, since we said TV descriptions, into the episode titles for Transformers Prime, they've given us the next three. I meant to look at my DVR to see if I had more of a description for episode 11 or 12 yet. But at least we can give you the names. Episode 11, Speed Metal. Episode 12, Predatory. And episode 13, Sick Mind for Transformers Prime. Leaves a lot to up for the imagination. I'm guessing we'll see some new characters in at least one or two of those, since they've basically introduced new characters in the last, what, two out of the last three. But yeah, that's kind of all they give us so far. But what do you guys think of those titles? I think Predatory is one that has me interested.
I think Predatory probably has Steve speculating.
Predacons.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's the problem with Transformers Prime. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but everybody was like when everyone saw Convoy, like, oh, Convoy, Optimus Prime's Japanese name. It's also a fucking word that means a convoy of vehicles, you dumb fucks.
Right.
But predatory could mean that there's somebody hunting somebody else. I mean,
right, no,
like
no, right. No, no, I get that. Yeah, and that's probably what it is. But I mean, just because we are Transformers fans and because we are suckers for homages and other stuff and seeing other stuff come in, I mean... Look at it again. Going back to animated, Predacons Rising. I mean, you had Black Arachnia was a character in animated, regardless. But you know, mm-hmm. So
Waspinator and some of the Maximals.
Yep.
So at least you know that it's just kind of a fun thing for me to look forward a couple weeks every time to see if I can find a new character that's going to show up or this or that. I just forgot to look at the DVR yesterday to see what if I can go that far ahead yet.
Well, episode 11, I'm thinking may have someone along the lines of Blur or Jazz.
I think it's going to be Jazz, actually. I've heard rumors that Jazz...
LeVar Burton plays Jazz, yeah. So...
Yeah, we've already had his, as far as, like, rumors as far as who's voicing him, so it would make sense that he's going to come up at some point. And just FYI... Originally, they gave out a whole bunch of voices and characters that were going to be showing up, and we've already got all those with yesterday's episode.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, it is kind of more of a mystery type thing as far as who we're going to get, because all the ones that they originally had suggested, we've gotten now.
Yeah. Well, at least they're not breaking their word.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is good because I had a character space for a couple of them on the BTVA page for a long time, and I was like, are we ever going to get a picture of these guys? But I do have to add those guys to it. And the other thing about Transformers Prime news was, as far as the Transformers Prime soundtrack, which is confirmed to be coming soon, it's basically Brian Tyler got this news out because of his webpage, a small banner that says something about Transformers Prime original soundtrack coming soon. That's basically all we know. So it leaves a lot of speculation, but it just shows you again how much stock Hasbro is putting into this show that they're willing to do this. So hopefully it'll be something that we can enjoy, but who knows what it's going to consist of.
Yes.
Now, with them coming out with a original soundtrack for TF Prime, God damn it, where's the Beast Wars and Beast Machines ones?
Hold your horses, you know. Weren't you the one that even pointed Brian Ward in the right direction of those people for Beast Wars and Beast Machines?
Yes.
So, calm down.
Never know.
No, God damn it.
So, right now, as it stands for the U.S. cartoon continuity, we have a G... Well, I mean, I guess we have G1 soundtrack, obviously, with TFTM. We've got... We've got the animated score, which came out a couple of years ago by Sebastian Evans, the second. And now we've got the Transformers Prime soundtrack coming out eventually.
So hopefully there's no, no Nickelback in it. I'm just kidding.
Hey. Watch it.
So that's all the news we had for Transformers Prime.
It's feedback from iTunes for the Beast Unleashed podcast. We'll be back right after this.
All Things Transformers will be back after these messages.
Hey guys, this is Optimus Solo from the Geekcast Radio Network, and I was thinking the other day that maybe I've been too hard on the folks over at IGN. I mean, they had to put some effort into their top 100 animated series of all time list, right? I mean, maybe it's just me that wants to punch a baby when I read it. So in all fairness, I thought we should gather some of the people who were involved with this list and get their opinions. So what do you guys think about the IGN list?
I didn't think it was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows.
Okay, anyone else?
Dumb. Those dudes are so dumb.
I'm afraid to ask, but anyone else?
Epic fail.
Homer, they put your show at the top of your list. You gotta like their list, right?
I stand by my disappointed groan.
So I guess we should do something about it then.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I am, Brain. I think we should unveil the Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Animated Series of All Time list.
I second that emotion.
And I know that our list will be much better than the IGN list. You know why?
We watch a lot of TV.
That and the fact that we are teaming up with This Week in Geek, the Pop Culture Network, Chicken Pop Pod, and some other great geek sites.
By your powers combined,
we will give you a list geeks everywhere can be proud of.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons. And if you're hearing this, it means the Beast Unleashed podcast is now over. Yes. In the Beast Unleashed, myself, Steve Megatron Phillips, Pecan Court Michael Wilson, and TFG1 Mike review Beast Wars and Beast Machines in the very first podcast of its kind. Yes. In the podcast, we interview voice actors, writers from the show, and talk in-depth trivia between everything in between. So, if you're interested, you can tune in to the now-finished Beast Unleashed podcast over on GeekCastRadio.com. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Excellent! Yes!
We're gonna turn Cybertron into a giant mud pit! The Beast Unleashed podcast.
No depth charge, not a Cybertronian mud pit. Yes, I am TFG1 Mike, and I'm joined by Steve Megatron,
and Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
This is a special iTunes review response here on All Things Transformers. The three of us molded the Beast Unleashed podcast into the awesomeness that it is today. And we have a brand new review. Four-star review for any fan of Beast Wars, .. by Texnek, left on March 4th, 2011. I stumbled onto the Beast Unleashed podcast last fall, just as I was finishing up an extended business trip in Korea. It was a great way to kill time as I rode subway to and from work each day, very entertaining stuff to say the least, and it helped to feed my voracious appetite for all things Beast Wars. See, I just can't get enough of that show. So I was excited to find a podcast devoted to reviewing every single episode where the hosts gush over the G1 continuity moments in the agenda and ponder the true meaning behind Depth Charge's death. Also, it's amazing and comforting to me that with the live-action movies, the video games, the IDW comics, and more recent cartoon series, Transformers Prime, Animated, etc., and all the other newer Transformers stuff, there are indeed still people out there, like myself, who still care about Beast Wars, and who recognize that without Cheetor and Company, Transformers would have stayed dead back in the 90s. We wouldn't be enjoying any of that other stuff now. Oh, and the celebrity interviews are way cool! So, thank you, Texnek. Very, very awesome for you to leave us a review like that. The only real thing for TVU to be more complete than it already is if we could get an interview with Scott McNeil. We're working on that.
Yes.
So, anybody have anything to say before we move on?
Definitely like the review. Can tell that he really got into the show.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from people who really enjoy the show, as opposed to all the people who email me and tell me that I suck.
Yeah, right. Sure they do. They probably don't even know you're a podcaster.
I know, I'm kidding. Nobody knows me.
I get email letters every day that I suck. Oh, wait, no, that's not me. That's
it's not actually, true. I don't know. Nobody knows me. If I got emails, I could brag about that, but I really don't.
So, yes, again, as I said at the end of the Beast Unleashed podcast, any and all future reviews, iTunes reviews for any of the other older Transformers podcasts that we've done will be featured here in All Things Transformers. Megatron, you want to say anything about the review or the taking us back to the actual episode of ATTF or anything?
Well, I definitely have to say that I like the review. And I like that they didn't bash me, unlike some other co-host I have.
Now, Megatron, you better watch it.
You better watch it. My blood has been boiling for months. However, we will transition into the Transformers Prime review of the week, with the latest in the two new episodes of Transformers Prime since we missed last week. Gee, thanks, Steve Megatron.
Now back to All Things Transformers.
Welcome back to Transformers.
No. And welcome back to All Things Transformers with the TF Prime discussion. And yes, we missed last week, so we're going to have to backtrack back to episode 9, which is Convoy.
Yes. This is an interesting episode.
Yes, it was.
Very interesting episode.
it was quite different from what you would normally expect from a Transformers show, considering everybody thought, like, we didn't per se think that because of the description.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, oh, it's going to be a convoy, Japanese tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I was glad to see that they had humans and they weren't idiotic like TF Animated.
Well, and again, I mean, you know, we'll get into the TFA humans, you know, down the line in another podcast. But, I mean, you know, as I said earlier in the news segment, two completely different styles and two completely different shows. I mean, you know. Right. The whole point of Transformers Prime is to combine every piece of continuity, including Movieverse. So I think that's where, like, you get people like Agent Fowler, who is a more sane, realistic version of Sims. You know, you get people like this villain, Silas or Stylus or whatever the fuck his name
Silas,
is.
Silas, yeah.
Silas.
You know, you get people like that who are a genuine, legitimate threat.
You know, I've already forgot who did the voice of Silas.
We just said it off air.
Nancy Brown.
Lex Luthor.
Right. That's right.
Where's Superman when you need him?
It was just, I don't know, for me it was just a completely unexpected thing. I haven't been keeping up with any of the internet rumors or anything like that. I've just been trying to watch it on my own and do that so I basically can form my own opinions. And I was just like, wow, this is something that they haven't done, and it's kind of just a completely different take on things that I wasn't ready for, but it was fine.
Right, I mean, you know, and the thing of it is I don't keep up much with the internet rumors. I see the news items because obviously I follow TFW2005 on Twitter, but you know I see the news items of, oh, Transformers Prime, blah, 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 or you see a promo or something, which is fine, but as far as rumors and all, like, I didn't even know until I watched it that Clancy Brown was going to be voicing the lead villain in this episode. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I was shocked just like some other people were, so...
What would have been awesome is if he looked like Lex Luthor.
He kind of did a little bit. The jaw was a little bit more square, but...
Yeah. He did have a little bit of that look, and it was just kind of... He also had a tiny bit of a resemblance between... to the... Before the mask gets put on Destro character from G.I. Joe Renegades, almost a little bit. And I don't know, it's just an interesting human element. I mean, we've never, well, I shouldn't say never, but it seems like in Transformers, whenever the humans are involved, it's always kids, or it's, you know, their dads or stuff like that. I mean, I guess we had the Witwickies on different generations and whatnot, but we haven't had a ton of just downright villainous humans, besides a few crazy, like, doctor scientist type guys.
I was going to say, you cannot forget Dr. Archiville.
No, I know. We had the crazy, like, technological guys and, like, scientist or inventor type guys, but we haven't had just outright, like, dictators, but just, like, yeah, just, like, straight up evil, you know, not henchmen, but just, like, I don't know how to describe this guy, but it just brings a whole other element, and I'm interested to see what they do with this. Hopefully they do something with it, because if they don't, then this is going to be remembered as one of the the more pointless episodes of the entire run. But, it's probably safe to say that they're going to do something with this.
Before Steve gives his thoughts, I just had something just pop in my head here. They're effectively combined. I know they're not intentionally doing this, but since you mentioned about, you know, how Silas is in this episode, reminds me of Cadmus from Justice League, and he reminds me of a more competent Wade Eiling. Wade Eiling was one of the generals working for Cadmus over there in Justice League. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to say real quick is... I don't particularly like the name of the organization.
Mech.
I was expecting, like, some sort of cheesy line saying, we're Mech and we have tech, or, you know, whatever.
I wanted them to be Venom.
Oh.
That would have been like,
that would never work.
That would have been awesome.
That would be awesome, but that would never work. And,
like,
and this is, that thing is the first thing that popped into my head is I'm like, why does Kevin want symbiote suits? And then I realized, I'm like, oh, okay, Miles Mayhem. Okay, I got this.
It's yes, a subgroup of Cobra.
Yes.
I got it.
Let's tie everything together.
I should have called him Fang.
Let's just get 80s goodness together. Let's bring Mask, or G.I. Joe, Transformers. Let's make it all one.
All right, Steve, what are your thoughts on Convoy?
Actually, overall, I was pretty pleased with it. I mean, even with the human element, I thought, despite having the humans in it, I thought it was going to be a lot weaker than what it was. But it was a pretty catch-on episode. I mean, you had appearances from Starscream and in the Viacons. You had Prime and the other Autobots. You had Fowler. So this is basically like Fowler's nemesis.
Yeah.
In the, you know, mech organization. And the fact that they had Clancy Brown, who is one of the most iconic evil voices, just human voices, unlike, I'm not even going to go into the, like, the Joker, because he's some other kind of evil, but just for, you know, your regular highly intelligent, rich, you know, leader of an organization, evil, Clancy Brown seems to fit this role really well, considering he also was a supervillain in Justice League as Lex Luthor opposing another red and blue alien.
Yes. And also we would be remiss, and I think the majority of our listeners would lambaste us in comments. He was also the Kurgan, or however the hell you say that, in Highlander.
The only problem I had with this episode was how easy Silas gave up there towards the end.
No, I disagree. I mean, I could see where you would, but I mean,
but it was like, it, no, what I mean is they get into the thing and they're like, oh, there's kids here, retreat. Basically. I mean, there were, so what if there was kids in there? It was like the one guy, like, reported back to Silas, like, oh, there's kids here. And then he's like, oh, let's retreat. I didn't quite get why that caused them to retreat at that point.
Well, he did shoot a missile at the damn train and said, fuck it, I'm just going to kill the train. If nobody's going to have the tech, no one will. And if Optimus Prime hadn't pulled a Tobey Maguire from Spider-Man 2.
That was my other problem was, how in the hell did Optimus Prime catch up to that train?
He's got super jet mode.
He was just like out for a while. The train is going very fast. And then he's turns back into a semi. And I don't care. I've never seen a semi that travels fast enough to catch up to a speedway train. Like, I don't know. I mean, I was being a little bit nitpicky. Overall, I liked the episode. It just seemed like there was a few things that were done just to be convenient there at the end.
I do like the... Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I do like the scene where they're going into Prime's trailer, and they think that they're going to get the device, and all of a sudden RC comes rolling out.
Yeah, that was cool.
See, I think it could have, like, RC could have been used somewhere else, and I so wish that, and I don't know if they're going to do this in future episodes. I was expecting Roller, damn it. I really was.
Yeah, that would have been funny, too. No, I thought most of the stuff was pretty good. Like I said, there's a couple of little nitpicky things that I was like, really? But other than that, I liked this, you know, unique human element that we've never really had in a Transformers cartoon that I'm aware of, so...
And the other thing about this human villain element is, at the end of the episode, I mean, Optimus, he's like shocked.
Yeah.
Because you know, the the Autobots hit the planet and they find these three really, really good kids, and they're just focusing on the Decepticons. Of course, like the first 8 episodes before this, the majority of it was Decepticon attacks, but you know, all of a sudden, Optimus is like, oh my god, we have to watch out for the human element now because there are not so good humans in the world. Well, duh, Optimus.
Well, I guess he just never thought that they were a threat before, but...
Yeah.
He was a little naive.
Yeah. They're like peon humans. Who cares about them? But now they're like, oh, maybe they can do some shit. So...
I will say that it's... One of the things I don't like about this episode
is that a couple of good hits on Optimus and he's down for a little while. I mean, I get like having episodes not use him, like say Optimus is off in the Arctic somewhere, like we had that in an episode, or say he's back at base doing something with Rat, you know. But I don't like how they'll put him in a battle scene, and I'll reiterate this when we get to the next episode. They put him in a battle scene. He gets the shit kicked out of him, and he's knocked out for, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. I don't like that. I mean, I get that, you know, obviously he can't be all big and bad and just be invincible, but I don't like how, so far, how the last couple of episodes have gone where people have just hit him, like, once or twice, and it's like, oh my god, he's gonna die! No!
I don't feel quite the same. I feel like it's more of a realistic thing as far as if he's caught at the right spot or if he's caught off guard or if it's the right type of hit that he'll go down just like anybody should. You know, I don't want him to be invincible. I want him to be realistic. It seems like they're doing it a lot, but
yeah,
it doesn't bother me too much yet.
Definitely agree.
But yeah, I think just overall it was a decent episode. I liked it.
Alrighty. Well, we'll move on to the next episode in Deus Ex Machina.
The fun one to say, episode 10.
Yes, and if you say it too fast, you won't say it right.
Or you just probably won't say it right anyway.
Or that.
Just yeah. Call it episode 10, goddammit.
Deus Ex Machina.
This one was definitely interesting. We have the whole idea of a Energon harvester that can basically suck Energon out of the world and out of Autobots or Decepticons, and the race to get it between the you know, the Autobots and the Decepticons, and the introduction of Knockout and Breakdown. Mike, what did you think about this one?
I didn't even know who the one guy was, because I didn't hear his, like, I heard his name, but I'm like, who the hell is Knockout? This is a brand new character, right?
As far as I know.
I thought that was a character that showed up, no, I think it might be a new one, actually. For some reason, Knockout sounds familiar to me, but I have no idea why.
Yeah, Knockout sounds familiar, but I don't think we've ever had a character by that name.
Okay. What did you guys think of just the actual design and the overall of both Knockout and Breakdown? I mean, did you like them? What'd you think of them?
I think I liked them all right. I mean, they didn't seem to be any kind of annoying looking character or anything. They just, they looked pretty strong and, I don't know, just overall, they seemed fine. I mean, just.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely focused more, you know, on, what was it, Breakdown? Was that the one that they focused more on him than on Knockout, so he got a little bit more character development, and I kind of like his design look a little bit better. And his vehicle mode was kind of cool, compared to, Knockouts. I don't know. I kind of like the interaction between them and, the Kevin Michael Richardson's character, which my mind just went completely
blank. Bulkhead.
Yeah, Bulkhead. I like the interaction there. To me, though, still the best character design we've seen as far as not the main characters, just the ones that have been introduced since the first episode has been Wheeljack, and I'm still going to be looking for something to beat that. But these two were definitely serviceable, and I hope they stick around.
I think Wheeljack and Skyquake are my two biggest likes for non, like, regular show characters so far. Breakdown, I was expecting a little bit more on the vehicle mode, not just this dopey-looking Jeep thing. What I don't like is how they're focused, like, I guess I like it, but at the same time I don't like it. With Bulkhead, we've had two episodes where he knows all the history. not all the history, but it's like Wheeljack, you know, part of the Wreckers, all that, and now Breakdown, oh, we have history, blah, 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 blah.
Which lends me to believe, and I don't know, I've heard rumors online a few times, but I'm not sure which episodes they're talking about, but people have put out the notion that they're not showing some of the episodes in the order that they were meant to be shown.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but we have been getting a lot of Bulkhead lately, and it's like RC's not even a character.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that you can't do any history with Bumblebee. He can't know the history. First of all, he can't tell us because he can't freaking talk.
Yet. He can't talk yet.
And second of all, he's too young to have a history or to know of the history. But it seems like, you know, Starscream and Bulkhead know everything about everything.
Yeah.
And nobody else does. Because even Bulkhead and Optimus Prime were almost like two separate histories. And I don't know, it'd be nice to see some history from maybe like a Ratchet or from RC or something like that.
And the just other thing that really just pisses me off is that, you know, I don't know if Mr. Welker is off doing something else right now during this time that Prime is on, but you effectively introduce Megatron in this five-parter. He gets somewhat destroyed, mangled at the end of that, and then you haven't had him in the last five episodes, and
is around though, because Frank Welker voiced the Decepticon trooper in the Wheeljack episode,
and that's fine. I mean, if Frank is doing other stuff with Transformers Prime, but I'm saying Frank as Megatron, I don't understand. Is it something with the voice actor that he's not available to do that, or is it something with the story where they don't want to bring back Megatron and they want to focus on Starscream's?
I think it's the story. I don't think it has anything. I think Frank Welker is around because he, like I said, he did some of the other voices. But
right.
To me, I actually prefer this because I would have been put off if Megatron came back immediately. And I like the fact that he's actually out of commission a little, but they still bring him into the story. They're still talking about him. Starscream's still finding ways not to quite bring him back yet. And it's developing Starscream a ton. And for once in like the entire history of Transformers, we have Starscream actually getting to be the leader for more than a minute. And I kind of like that. It's going to be epic when Megatron does come back. And I think that this time without him makes that just, you know, it's going to build it up more and more and more. And I kind of like where they're going with that.
I can agree with that.
I mean, as long as he's going to, you know, he is going to come back. And I think he's going to come back bad as hell. And maybe it's going to be something that they're planning maybe for the end of season one to give a cliffhanger into season two and to leave us all, you know, waiting for that. I don't know if he's going to sit out all of season one or not, but I could see that being some type of like momentous like end to season one if they wanted to do it that way. But I mean, otherwise it would have been just like we've seen in every other thing where Megatron goes down and then he immediately comes back and Starscream loses control immediately. And
I mean, I agree with you. I do like that Starscream's getting character development, and this is a very different Starscream than any Starscream we've had before, or any Waspinator we've had before. But I'm waiting for Steve to laugh at the joke, but apparently not. Waspinator Scream. Anyway, you know, I agree with you a little bit that he does need character development, but I mean, the whole big thing of Transformers Prime when it was first announced, oh, Peter Cullen, Frank Welker, working together for the first time since G1 as Optimus and Megatron, and then you take Megatron out for half of the season?
No, that's all right. I understand what you're saying, but we'll get it. We'll get it eventually. Be patient. There's 52 episodes so far, you know, that have been slated to happen, so.
That's true.
I don't know. We wouldn't want it whereas every single episode where it would just be Optimus and Megatron because...
Oh, no, yeah, no, I'm in full agreement. I just think that,
yeah.
I mean, something like, other than little moans and groans or whatever from Megatron's body, I think there should be, like, something where he wakes up, says something, and Starscream standing right there, and he just punches him in the face and knocks him back out. Or you know,
what would something. Be a great idea is if during this time, because I love the fact that they're still showing his body and they're still showing that he's part of the story, but what would I think what would be a great idea is while he's out, to give us that Colin Welker effect, show us some flashbacks. You know,
show us
something from Cybertron. You know, go into the history, because they've talked about the whole fact that Prime and Megatron know each other, and obviously, you know, we know that from reading the book and from playing the video game or whatever, but like, show some of that. You know, instead of focusing on all of Bulkhead's friends here, give us some Prime and Megatron history, and let's hear some Welker Cullen in flashbacks.
Yeah.
That definitely would be cool.
If they're going to keep him out for most of this first season, I would love that.
Yeah. As far as this episode, my only other complaint is I put a link to a picture I twitpicked to you guys in the chat. I took a screen cap of when Optimus got electrified by Knockout's little lance thing, whatever.
You know what I couldn't stop thinking about when they did that was General Grievous and
his
guards that had the electro.
I know. This again is like I don't mind the team stepping up, but this is the second time in two episodes that Optimus has got a hit to him that he's out for a good 3-4 minutes and he doesn't recover until after some more action happens. I don't, you know.
What it did is, like, and I get what you're saying. That's why I almost wish it wouldn't have happened in the other episode, because I think I was more fine with it happening in this episode, because mm-hmm. you had it happen to Bulkhead, too. This episode really portrayed Breakdown as a pretty badass character. Even though they somewhat cowered down to Starscream, obviously, when he's holding this Energon Harvester at their face or whatever and threatening to suck their souls out or whatever. But, he was, you know, they were holding their own out on the battlefield with Bulkhead and Optimus Prime and whatnot. And that's why I said I really hope they stick around, because it would help to have that dynamic of Starscream and some actual named characters along with Soundwave.
Yeah. You know, the thing of it is, with the whole, you mentioned the whole Bulkhead thing that they did with him. That wasn't necessarily a Lance Electric attack from Knockout. That was Starscream trying to suck the Energon out of Bulkhead.
No, I know, but I was just saying, like, in the interaction with Bulkhead earlier and with Optimus Prime, Breakdown just was like, he was not quite as badass as Skyquake was there for a minute, but still pretty badass.
Yeah, Breakdown's badassery aside, and I'll let Steve go here in a second, it's like, Breakdown is everywhere. Breakdown, I called it on Twitter the other day. Breakdown is the official mascot of BotCon, because Breakdown has been used 4 different times in BotCon, including this year with the animated remolded head of TFA Rodimus. And now he's showing up in Transformers Prime, so it's like Breakdown is everywhere.
Yeah. I will say, the before Steve goes, that the only other thing, I felt like I needed to call like some type of protective services on that museum guard for the way he was treating Miko. He just like threw her into the freaking room. I'm like, really? You're gonna do that to a 10-year-old girl, 12-year-old girl? Like, I don't know. Museum guard should be arrested.
Yeah, that kind of was a little irritating watching that, just because I'm like, okay, dude, you should be just calling, you know, her parents, guardian, whoever. You shouldn't be sitting here detaining her, you know, being like, okay, what are you really doing in here?
Throwing her in her room and interrogating her.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I was like, okay, dude, you can let her go. But for some reason, when he was talking, even though I know that this wasn't his real voice, and I could tell that it wasn't, but he had inflections that made me think it sounded like, at times, Ian James Corlett, and then at other times, Will Friedle.
Mm-hmm.
More so like Will Friedle, I was getting out of it, but it's still, I knew it was wrong, but I was like, I just wonder. And so after I saw the credits, I was like, oh, okay, I'm wrong. But it was definitely, a different type of voice than what's been on the show before.
Yeah, for sure. And we definitely have, this is one of the episodes, usually we only get like one or two new voices. We had actually 3 new voices in this one, with Reggie Bannister as that guard, Adam Baldwin as Breakdown, and Darren Norris as Knockout. So is introducing a lot of new voices to us. And I kind of knew that Knockout and Breakdown were different. I kind of knew who they were from way back when, but I had forgotten. So it was kind of nice to hear those guys. I like Darren Norris.
Well, and then when I saw Knockout in there, and he was just kind of this calm, cool, collected character, I was kind of, like, in a little bit of his voice, I was getting kind of a David Kaye feel to it. And I was like, I know it's not him. I was like, but it sounds like him at parts.
Yeah.
And it's not out of his voice range. So I was like, it could be, but it wasn't.
That's one of the fun parts about watching these shows is when they put a new character out there trying to figure out who the voice is before you see the credits.
Yeah. And in that character, like, Starscream even asked him, he's like, why aren't you in with a flight mode? He says, I like the ground. He's like, I like the vehicle mode of the ground and everything. And
yeah.
He seems kind of like a. You know, like Sunstreaker, Sideswipe type.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, I've got my shiny armor, don't touch it.
I thought it was interesting, though, too, to have some Decepticons that weren't flyers, basically for the first time, because, you know, Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave, and Skyquake were all, and all the drones are all flyers. So to have Knockout and Breakdown be these, you know, automobiles was kind of an interesting change.
Oh, yeah, and it makes it a little bit harder to differentiate, like, I mean, unless you know how they were introduced, between Autobot and Decepticon.
Yep.
And, but overall, I like their designs, and I like their plot elements in this, and the fact that Starscream got the Energon Harvester despite its very high plot device and quick demise.
This so reminded me of a G1 episode. Where, like, you have some type of technological device or some type of thing that someone's trying to, that the Decepticons are trying to steal, and, like, the whole episode revolves around. I mean, it was, like, straight out of G1, story-wise. My favorite scene is when the kids are in the, whatever, the building, museum, and they open the, whatever, garage door or whatever, and it's Soundwave.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Soundwave, you're a badass.
That's always cool.
But, I don't know, I that's one thing that why I liked this episode. It was like, to me, it was like a straight homage to G1 simple plot device storylines.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, introducing new characters and developing a few other things. So, I don't know, I've been a fan of the last, like, three episodes for sure.
Yeah, the show definitely hasn't slowed down in quality.
No, yeah, and I think it's just going to keep getting better in quality. I mean, they're really making a push for this show to work. So, and it's not really like a push where it's forced. It's they're really working on it. They're not Bayformering it up.
True. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we see with 11, 12, and 13 here. What else are we going to get?
So, jumping out of that discussion, is there anything you guys are looking forward to in the near future that we've talked about today or that you've read about as far as Transformers?
My thing that I'm most interested in is which characters are going to show up in Prime. Like we said, we've had the rumors of LeVar Burton, as Jazz. And stuff like that. So I'm just interested to see which voices come in, you know, which characters come in, and, you know, just where Transformers Prime goes. Really, for me, the only thing happening in my Transformers world right now is Transformers Prime.
That'll change come June, but okay. Yes, it will. For me, I hope they don't do this anytime soon, but if they were ever to bring in Hot Rod or Rodimus, I hope that they get Judd Nelson to voice him. I don't know if that will happen or not, but what else? I'm just really looking forward to BotCon. I know it's still a few months away. As far as other stuff, I would love to start getting my hands on some of the Generations or United, more so some of the United figures.
I think the other thing, which is probably what Steve is looking forward to, and I'm also looking forward to, is what types of bonus materials they come to decide on for Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
More details.
Yes, more. Of course, we will eventually have an interview.
Sweet.
Talking about it in the future.
In the future.
In the future. Yes. So for now, I think that will do it with the Transformers news, as well as your selections of what's coming out. So, Steve, end the damn show. Jeez, what an asshole.
Good for you. You're the one voicing him.
Shut up. He has a mind of his own. That's what happens when you don't have caffeine. You argue with yourself.
And then Mike breaks the fourth wall.
Yes. And you even say your own name. But anyways, thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers 2.0. If you'd like to leave feedback for the show, there are tons of ways to do this. First, you can visit the website where you can comment on all of the different GeekCastRadio.com podcasts. Second, you can rate the show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Please do this because all of the feedback we have and all of the ratings is from All Things Transformers version 1.0, back when it sucked. And also...
Now, wait a second here. Hold on. Uh-oh. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I don't want to break the fifth wall here, but...
It sucked.
Not every episode of 1.0 sucked.
No, not every, but the formatting sucked, and towards the end it was kind of getting blah. So
continue.
It got reformatted. Seeds of the future, yes.
Don't say that, because all I can hear is seeds of the future are buried in your ass.
Yes, it was in the Beast of the Future. Who said that in that show, Megatron? Smell line 502-526-5821. Remember to tell us what show you're leaving it for and leave your damn name. like keep up to date with all things Geekcast Radio related. Join our fan page on Facebook. We post a lot, so check it there. You can also follow us on Twitter. My Twitter name is SCP21. What are your Twitter names?
DFG and Mike.
And Optimus Solo.
So, yes, have fun with all that's coming out. Hope you like the TF Prime overview, and looking forward to the next episode of TF Prime. So catch us next time with the next episode of All Things Transformers. So for now, it's Steve Megatron Phillips saying, take a hike. Seeds of the future are buried in your ass.
Oh, God.
That one in Beast Unleashed.
Yeah. Was it you that said it, or was it Michael that said it, and then you said it as Megatron? Because I don't remember.
Michael probably said it. I probably just repeated.
I'm going to have to go back to that and clip that out of whatever CBU episode that was. Oh, my God.
Yes, I like my outro for episode 30 of the Beast Unleashed.
I have to go back and listen to it.
It was something along the lines of... Yes, I'm wasted. Tip your weights. The seeds of the future are buried in your ass. I've got big balls bouncing from the left into the right. Something along those lines, I don't know.
Nice.
And then I said something else, and then Depth Charge jumps in and goes, X is down there.
Yeah.